It is Super Tuesday. What's at stake? Ken Smuckler, good morning. Ken?
Tom?
Oh, there he is.
Are you ready? Are we ready?
I'm ready. It's Super Tuesday. And what's at stake, Ken Smuckler?
Tom, Sybil, Jay, Antoine, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. 12 hours, 13 battlegrounds, and the territory of American Samoa, 6 candidates, and Dr. Ben Carson. 1,460 delegates up for grabs. This is your Super Tuesday Smuck Report. Hillary comes into Super Tuesday after her beatdown of Bernie Sanders across South Carolina. It was this decisive victory that has solidified her numbers in what the Milk of Magnesia media calls the SEC primary, and we at the Smuck Report call the HBCU primary. So, let's take a moment to review what Hillary did to Bernie in the Palmetto State, as it looks to be replicated across the South today. Overall, she beat Sanders 74-26, but among black voters, she wiped him out. I mean wiped out like Diddy on stage at the BET Awards. Blacks turned out at higher numbers to vote for Hillary last Saturday than they did for Barack Obama in the 2008 primary. Sanders lost black voters 87-13 overall, but Hillary's most crushing blow came from black voters over the age of 65, a group she won 96-3. Jay, the last candidate to win an election that big was Ferdinand Marcos in the Philippines after invoking martial law. Sybil, let me take a moment to tell you what you will never hear today from the pundits in the paler press,
okay,
which has focused on Bill Clinton and the Clinton brand among African-American voters to explain her route. The Smuck Report has a different take. South Carolina since June has been reeling from the massacre of a Bible study class at the Emmanuel AME Church. 9 killed, including 4 pastors, by a man who said he wanted to start a race war. Within months of the shooting, African-American voters across South Carolina found out that there is a loophole in federal gun laws that allowed the Charleston killer to get his gun. The National Rifle Association lobbied for that loophole, which became known as the Charleston loophole. And as Hillary Clinton charged in the January South Carolina Democratic debate, Bernie Sanders voted for it. So what did Hillary Clinton do the moment she set her sights on South Carolina after her victory in Nevada? Her very first campaign appearance in South Carolina was in a church sanctuary, joined by the mothers of Black Lives Matter and by none other than the icon of the gun control movement, former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, who narrowly escaped death at the hands of a crazed gunman. Hillary put a webpage on her site called the Charleston Loophole and started launching radio ads voiced by a Charleston pastor and TV ads voiced by Gabby Giffords. Think about the difference between Hillary and Bernie this way. Hillary Clinton gets on a bus with Moms of Black Lives Matter on a 10-day tour of South Carolina. Bernie Sanders couldn't even get on the smucking phone to call into the TJMS at any time in the 6 months prior to Super Tuesday before yesterday. Just keeping it real, Sybil.
Hello.
Today, Bernie Sanders moves anywhere but the South on his white men can't jump tour. He needs to hold his home state, Vermont, and get wins in Massachusetts, Kansas, Minnesota, and Colorado. Hillary has to consolidate her win in South Carolina by running up big wins in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia. And now to the Republicans. 3 things happened between the Houston debate and Super Tuesday that framed the most likely Trump victory tonight. First, Governor Chris Christie's endorsement of Trump. Tom, just when we thought Chris Christie went back to New Jersey, where Super Tuesday would mean, well, what it's always meant for him, a complimentary shake and fries with his double R bar burger at the Sunrise Luncheonette in Trenton, he's back like a heart attack, on stage in Fort Worth, Texas, endorsing Donald Trump. Second, Trump connects with poor white folks in the South like T.D. Jakes connects with his flock at the Mega Fest. But while Jakes inspires, Trump panders. I mean, Sybil. He actually told a crowd in Bentonville, Arkansas, home of Walmart's world headquarters, that if he won their state, he might shop at Walmart forever, which I'm pretty sure came as a big surprise to his supermodel wife, Melania, who probably didn't think her future with the Donald included wandering through the women's wear aisle of a Walmart, choosing between the camouflage and blaze orange pantsuits designed by the House of Duck Dynasty. But Tom, for Trump, the pandering is working. Poor white folk in the South are attracted to the Donald like KKK members to a flaming cross. And I mean that literally.
Wow.
In January, the RAND Corporation read 3,000 respondents these two statements. Statement one, blacks could be just as well off as whites if they only tried harder. Statement two, it bothers me when I come into contact with immigrants who speak little or no English. When they crunched the numbers, they found that the more those asked supported those statements, the more they were likely to vote for Trump by a factor of 44%. Tom, it wasn't his hearing that led Trump to conveniently forget who the Grand Wizard David Duke was and what the KKK stands for. It was his hearing that the NASCAR coalition is the key to his strong showing today that led him to take a pass on Duke and the KKK. And Trump's NASCAR coalition has everything to do with math of Super Tuesday. Eight of the 12 states in play for Republicans today are what's called winner-take-most states. That means a portion of the state's statewide delegates go entirely to a candidate that wins that state by more than 50%. But Trump is not polling at 50% in any of those states. So these delegates will be divided proportionally between Trump, Rubio, and Cruz. Where Trump can win is in those states and in their congressional districts. Because in those states, if any candidates win a congressional district by more than 50%, they take all that district's delegates. Trump's game is to get more than 50% in the most racist congressional districts in these southern states. The strategic imperative for Cruz and Rubio, therefore, is to keep Trump from getting to that 50% mark within those congressional districts. That's why the GOP battle got so nasty so fast, because nothing works better in politics for keeping an opponent under 50 than going nasty. And as we've seen, this race has gone to the nasty. I mean, Jay-Z on Tupac diff track nasty. Rubio says Trump flies on Air Force One, has the worst spray tan in America, and has small hands. And you know what that means, Tim. Trump now calls Rubio Little Rubio, says he has big ears and takes out a bottle of water and splashes it on stage, mimicking Rubio's debate performances. These two are going at it like Tia and Tamara Mowry. No, not on their reality show, Sib, but when they were teenagers on Sister Sister. The next nasty was Trump's taxes. It started when former presidential candidate Mitt Romney challenged Trump to release his taxes, to which Trump responded by refusing to release them as they are under audit. Then he calls Romney a dope who walks like a penguin, to which Romney tweets out, hashtag, what is he hiding? Hell, Tom, the last time I saw two Arista brats going at it like this was Ralph and Mortimer Duke in Trading Places after the Florida orange juice concentrate market crashed. It was the Duke. Cruz doubles down and says Trump may be hiding his relationship with a company owned by New Jersey mob boss Fat Tony Salerno. So now there are two fat guys impacting the Trump candidacy. I swear, Jay, if there's one more fat guy added to the mix of this campaign, it'll be like a scene out of The Clumps. Ooh, he's got a little gas. And that's the Smuck Report. Reminding our listeners, as always, that there's a fine line between trickery and shiggity. And where that line is crossed, there will always be Tom Joyner and the GJMS. Look for a kimono-clad Hillary Clinton to take the stage tonight, Sybil, channeling Florence Henderson on the Partridge Family bus, singing Come On, Get Happy, and Donald Trump to take the stage channeling Naughty by Nature. Turn and moon the audience with the word little on one cheek and Rubio on the other. Smuck off! Smuck out!
Drop the mic!
Drop the mic!